The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. And you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. O Lord, have mercy on us. We rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. When Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone, Martha. Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said on this account to the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a story told about a new Catholic priest who had just come to a parish, and he began his sermon one Sunday by saying, I want you to know that every member of my parish is going to die. A young Irishman seated in the first pew began to chuckle out loud. The priest thought to himself, well, maybe he didn't hear what I said, so he began again. I want you to know that every member of my parish is going to die. The young Irishman chuckled again. The priest was beginning to get a little perturbed, and finally he stopped his sermon and he said, pray tell, young man, didn't you hear what I said? Of course I heard what you said, Father, but I am not a member of your parish. We meet death straight in the face in our text this morning from John 11, as we encounter Lazarus who had died. And based on this text, we consider the theme a foretaste of the feast to come. My dear brothers and sisters who are alive in Christ Jesus, we begin by looking at what has happened, which is our first point. Unlike the young Irishman, Lazarus has died. The text says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Nothing is new under the sun. People are still dying today. People will die tomorrow. Some deaths are unexpected. Others happen after lingering illnesses. However, people will continue to die until the last day when Jesus returns. And death, ultimately, we know, comes as a result of our sin. The Bible says, the soul who sins shall die, for the wages of sin is death, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I are all going to die someday. I could say, as did the Catholic priest, every member of my parish is going to die. For as hard as it tries, medical science cannot defeat death. Only God can do that. What occurs in our text is really similar to what happens when someone dies today. It says, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When someone dies, the normal thing that we do is we go to their home. We bring them words of comfort in the gospel. Often we bring them food. We offer to help in any way that we can. That is simply what loving and caring for one another is all about. But in our text, we also get a little glimpse of finger pointing. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. And then later on in that same section, therefore when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Sometimes when people die, we want to blame someone else. We might even blame God, as we see happening here with Martha and Mary. But the simple fact is, death is complete in every single generation. But we also get a little glimpse here of the great faith that Martha possessed. For she says, even now I know that whatever you ask of God, she's speaking to Jesus, God will give you. Could Martha, in essence, be asking for a miracle from Jesus at this point in time? Well, we don't know that. But our text does give us a clear foretaste of the feast to come. And secondly, we rejoice in the promise of Jesus. For Martha says, verse 24, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. The theology of the resurrection is found throughout the Old Testament as well. In Daniel 12:2, we read, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, those to everlasting life, but others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. And then as we heard in our lesson from Ezekiel, and I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own hand. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. Earlier, Jesus had said, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all those who are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Then we jump right back into our text. We hear these familiar words that we all know. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. When the believer in Jesus dies, body and soul separate. The soul of the believer goes to be with Jesus in heaven. The soul of the unbeliever goes to hell. Bodies are laid in the grave awaiting the resurrection of all flesh on the last day when body and soul will be reunited. We read in Revelation 6:9, and when he broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. And then in Revelation 20, verse 4, it says, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image. Our Lord Jesus, throughout all of what's going on here, knew that his own death lay ahead. His death would be for the sins of the whole world, those of all people, yours and mine included. But Jesus was looking beyond his own suffering and death to his resurrection. For Jesus says, and this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. That is Jesus' promise to you and to me and to all who confess him as their Savior. Our text does give us a foretaste of the feast to come. And finally, we look at what takes place. The text says, Jesus therefore again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus was deeply moved. In fact, it says that Jesus wept. What Jesus felt for his friend Lazarus and for Mary and Martha. But have you ever wondered if part of Jesus' weeping might have been a little bit for his own death and resurrection, which lay just around the corner? Our text speaks of the conspiracy to kill Jesus, and we're not far from the Palm Sunday entrance into Jerusalem. And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were always attacking his deity. If he was not the Son of God, true God and true man in one person, then they did not have to listen nor obey his teaching. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Lazarus is brought back to life. God, through the Holy Gospel, calls people one by one from sin, death, and the power of the devil, from unbelief to faith in Christ Jesus, literally from death to life. In Christ Jesus, we have been unbound and forgiven of all of our sins. The chains of death and hell have been broken. We live in the freedom and joy of knowing that all of our sins are forgiven. As Paul said in our epistle, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Thanks be to God that we can look forward in joy and in anticipation in the foretaste of the feast to come. Note what happens as a result of this miracle. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified by it. And then Jesus asks in this section of John of Martha, do you believe this? And we hear her wonderful confession of faith. Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And then there is one other confession of faith. Many, therefore, the Jews who had come to Mary and beheld what he had done, believed in him. The raising of Lazarus was to glorify God, point to the death and resurrection of Jesus, which would soon take place. For it is Jesus' death and resurrection which brings us hope and comfort and peace and joy. And it truly is a foretaste of the feast to come. In Jesus' name and completed work, amen.